When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on This Morning with Daniel Behrens from Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Dan, good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me back.
Before we get underway here, I want you to remind our listeners what you do there at Associated Bank.
I'm a senior vice president at Associated Bank. I finance all types of commercial real estate in and around the Chicago and Midwest area.
I want to focus in on a sort of a snapshot of what we're seeing in the commercial real estate market these days. Depending on what part of the country you're in, and obviously we're in the Chicago area, but some parts of the country have seen distressed figures. Others are seeing maybe some recovery from that. What's it like here in the Chicago area?
I think right now in Chicago, we're still kind of in a state of flux. I don't think anyone has any real clarity on what the future holds, at least in the near term, call that 60, 90, 120 days out. But I think, you know, coronavirus is really going to provide a bunch of tremendous amount of opportunities in commercial real estate. I mean, depending on what media outlet you listen to or where you read, people are estimating there's somewhere between $300 and $400 billion in equity sitting on the sidelines right now, you know, waiting to be deployed by institutional capital. Assuming if you want to conservatively leverage that up to 50%, we're talking $600 to $800 billion of cash sitting on the sidelines. I mean, that compares to 2019, entire nationwide sales were at $570 billion. So there's a ton of capital that's still waiting to be deployed. And I think people are expecting some huge wave of distressed sales. And personally, I don't see it happening. I think if anything, you know, this institutional money is really going to be deployed for new development or even defensive acquisitions. You know, it'll all depend on which asset class people are interested in. You know, I think, you know, when I consider commercial real estate, I think of industrial, office, multifamily, retail, and hotels. I think industrial is certainly going to fare really well. I think three words that a lot of people have heard a lot recently are supply chain vulnerability. You know, that really leads to industrial's importance across the country. And I think warehousing is going to be a huge part of the industrial sector with people, you know, increasing stock for future disruptions. I think cold storage is going to be a good sub-asset class to prevent any, you know, future food shortages. Manufacturing is going to be a good space because people are going to want to, you know, bring goods and materials onshore. They don't want to have to rely on foreign products and materials. You know, e-commerce obviously is strong. You know, I think office is going to fare fairly well. I think R&D space, lab space, to help develop vaccines even for this pandemic or vaccines for future issues. I think medical office is going to be strong. We're going to need to avoid any kind of future stress on our healthcare system. Personally, I think general office is going to fare fairly well because eventually people are going to want to get back to their normal routine. You know, multifamily, I think people will still need places to live, obviously. You know, if someone lost their job, they're going to move out of the building that's charging them $350 a square foot, and they're going to move to a building that's $2 a square foot, you know, something that's a little more realistic, a little more in their price range. Maybe that's not in the location that they would prefer to be in, but that's the sacrifice that people are going to have to make.
Dan, I want to tear into the part of that, and you mentioned the warehousing part of it and the supply chain. Are you thinking that the industries that we might see some positive movement on that might be, what, the retail space, the grocery business, the medical supply chain, all of those areas where we saw a little bit of disruption in the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are going to want to avoid any kind of disruptions in the future. People don't want to have grocery stores being sold out of their meat. So the meat processors, you know, that's what I meant with the cold storage. People are going to be, you know, try to avoid the disruptions and the issues going forward that we're seeing now. Obviously, this is the first time in our history that almost entire stop across the entire country, people don't want to have this experience again. So I think we're going to learn from our mistakes and be better and stronger when we come out of this pandemic so we can weather any kind of future issues that we may have ahead.
Yeah, I think back to the distress part of the story. I think when people hear the headlines of businesses going out of business, losing all of their employees, shuttering because of the pandemic, and all of the loss of business, that's where we get the idea that maybe some of these places where businesses had been in place and maybe they're going out of business, that's why we might see that real estate perhaps be empty.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, I think there are going to be casualties. I mean, there's certainly no doubt about that. I think the casualties will mostly likely be centered around smaller communities or even, you know, in terms of asset classes, I'd say retail and hotels. But I certainly think hotels, you know, in the long run will be okay. I think there's a lot of strong hotel operators out there. And at least me personally, I know I'm ready to spend a couple nights away, preferably pretty close to a beach somewhere.
Yeah, and talk to us a little bit about this money. This I know people have described it as sitting on a dry powder keg of money. You have $300 billion or more. One investment firm was talking about the money available for some of this buying for some of these opportunistic buyers. What would be some of the new areas that you might see pop up aside from what we've already talked about?
The areas we talked about really are where I think most of that concentration is going to happen. I think office, industrial, those are going to be good places to park cash, especially for these large institutions. But I think coming out of the financial crisis in 2008, 9, and 10, a lot of people were sitting on stockpiles of money. And like I said earlier, the huge wave of distressed sales didn't really materialize. And I don't think they're going to materialize again. I think banks are being a little more friendly. Obviously, retailers and hotels, they're having some issues. But I think with a friendly lender, someone that's willing to work with you, I think a lot of these landlords and commercial real estate market in general will survive. I think, you know, I can't say the same thing for specific retailers. Obviously, we've had a lot of retailers file Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the last 24, 48 months. And I think that will continue. But I think landlords are, especially retail, I've talked to a lot of retail landlords, that they are receiving their reimbursements, common area maintenance, real estate taxes, insurance. So they'll be able to, you know, maintain the near term. They're being able to pay their operating expenses. And hopefully if they have a friendly lender or someone who's willing to work with them, they'll be able to defer some of their debt service payments into the future. But I think they're working with the tenants and, you know, working on temporary payment deferrals for their retail tenants, but they're getting something in return. They're going to be getting additional lease term on the back end, and all the rent that they, or the rent, yeah, that they defer, it's going to be made back up. They're going to, you know, increase rent, you know, call it 6 to 8 months from now to catch up for what they've deferred.
You know, one of the wild cards here might be the companies who decided or are deciding right now whether or not to ever bring back their employees to an office space. We've seen a couple of reports, different reports about companies that are doing that. Is that one of the things that maybe could impact your outlook here moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, people are going to want to get back to their office. I mean, people, you know, and companies are going to want their employees to eventually get back to the office. I think this is a, you know, what I kind of consider a once in a career opportunity to really be away from the office for an extended period of time. But I think people are starting to experience the negatives of that. Like we talked about before coming on the air was, you know, I'm on conference calls. I hear babies crying. I hear dogs barking in the background. You know, I've heard coworkers and clients complain about their teenage children, you know, that are on gaming devices that are sucking up all their bandwidth, so their internet is running slow. I think companies are going to want to have the productivity again of a normal functioning work environment in an office setting. And I think you only really generate a pretty strong cohesive team if you're able to meet face to face, if you're able to interact day to day. Doing that on Zoom calls or over IM really just isn't the ideal way for, you know, teams to run smoothly and functionally.
Dan, before the pandemic began, I remember having a conversation with you about the co-working space, and in Chicago, that being one of the biggest landlords in the city, was the landlords of these co-working spaces. With the pandemic changing how we all are distancing from each other, are those spaces in risk, and what impact would that have on commercial real estate?
I would definitely say they're at risk right now, Steve. We talked about, I think we had a conversation not too long after WeWork's failed IPO. I believe at the time I told you that plenty of strong and viable businesses have been started in basements and in garages. I was nervous about the business model for these co-working companies in the event of a slowdown. No one could have expected a complete shutdown. But I think with the short-term nature of the leases, where, say, a WeWork or a Kavine, they'll go out and they'll sign a lease, essentially a sublease, with a smaller tenant for one office or one office in a conference room. But those leases are only sometimes as short as a month. In a situation like this where people are ordered by the government to stay at home, they'll pay their 1 month rent for that 1 month on the lease, and they'll just walk away. They won't come back to that co-working space. I mean, maybe they will, but that'll be 6-8 months out, and these co-working companies are signing leases with landlords, you know, for 5 to 10 years. I just don't see how that business model is sustainable you know, certainly in this time and going forward.
At the very least, the physical setup of some of these places will have to change, right? I mean, the open working space is going to disappear, I have a feeling, and that's where these co-working spaces are going to have to adapt.
You know, I've toured a couple of co-working spaces, and they do have quite a few small offices. So, you know, if a business wants to, a lot of times they can lease just an office or a conference room in an office. So I think in that part, they'll be able to generate some interest. I think they might have to chop up their space a little more and add more offices and kind of do away with the large communal workspace atmosphere. But I think that's similar to even traditional office. I mean, you know, a lot of people are, you know, they went to the model of, you know, open collaborative workspaces versus traditional office space with, you know, everyone in sitting in their own walled off, glassed off office. You know, I think in retrospect, maybe that was, you know, office landlords and office tenants are going to have to rework how they situate their own offices to accommodate, you know, the new normal of the social distancing, at least until there's a vaccine developed.
Yeah, the office of the past suddenly becomes the office of the future again.
Exactly.
Dan, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure, they can always call me. My office phone number is 312-544-4657. Or my email, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com.
Dan, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the time.